Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Psychic Funhouse, a special place of exploration, love, and healing. Stay inside your ride, but prepare to expand your consciousness. Your psychic pitchmen, Michael Espinoza and Lawrence Birch, are your guides as we embark together on a magical journey. Here's the entrance, and right there is your seat. So, let's start the show.
Good evening, everyone. It's the Psychic Club.
Hello, everybody.
You're here with Michael Espinoza and me, Lawrence Birch.
No,
that's about what's going to happen.
Yes.
How are you, Mr. Birch?
I've been better, but I'm doing okay. How about you?
Yeah. I'm doing okay. We've had better days, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is day five of living inside of a chimney with a full-on fire going on. It's nuts up here in Northwest.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, I feel like I'm smoking a carton of cigarettes a day. It's nuts.
Yeah.
I'm kind of losing my sense of smell and taste. Everything's coated in ash, and people I know are getting fires coming closer and closer to them. So it's concerning, to say the least.
Yeah. So what's
going on? Things where you're at, you still haven't smoked?
Yep, there's still a lot of smoke. Not as much as the last couple days down in here. I'm in the Los Angeles County area, and we're in the San Gabriel Valley, and there's been, past couple days, been a lot of smoke. So the skies were orange, and there was a lot of ash. But the ash has stopped, or lessened, I shall say, and the skies are not orange like they were before. So that's a plus. So it's not as thick. You don't smell the smoke. So we're happy for that.
That is
good. And how are you up there in the Northwest?
Well, let's put it this way. The particulate matter in the air that they measure, you know, somewhere in a healthy range is zero to, I don't know, under 100. Maybe, you know, we average somewhere around 30 to 50. And at one point, it was over 600.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's like, you know, excuse me, I'm choking on a piece of air over here. But, we're in this kind of haze. When we see the sun, it's this red disk, and that hasn't been very recent. And everything's this kind of sickly yellow, gauzy color. And visibility is about, I don't know, quarter mile, if that. So,
yeah.
It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was going to ask you, do you think, how do you think, or do you think that, you know, fire conditions like this, smoke conditions, what part do you think the environment when, you know, there's this kind of situation going on, how does that affect psychic ability?
How does it affect psychic ability, having all this stuff?
Or does it? Yeah, or does it? Or is it very?
I don't think it does. I mean, I think one of the things I've been really picking up on a lot, and then also seeing from my clients, is the and I just had one of my clients today, and we were talking about this, is she was picking up on kind of the, when I forget words, what is it, the, when everybody's kind of feeling the same energy, what is that called?
Vibration?
Yeah.
Wavelength?
You know, it, the collective consciousness. And yeah, so I think right now it's just kind of funky. And then especially like in this region out here where, you know, it's affecting a lot of people and it feels like it's Armageddon. And I had another client that I was talking to and she just said that she felt like it's Armageddon. Everything's on fire. The sky is orange. You know, it looks like a Blade Runner. What is it, 2049? And she just feels really frightened. Yeah, you know, and you have the pandemic going on still. And she just, you know, just she's very fearful. And Spirit said, look, you know, don't focus on all that stuff. Yes, it's there. Take heed of it. You take care of yourself. But not to tap into the collective consciousness. Pull yourself out of it. And that's what I'm doing, and I'm reminding myself to do, because it is a strong vibration.
Yeah.
And not only that, you know, a lot of people are out of work and still fearful about money.
Right. Yeah, there's already, you know, stuff that's been keeping us occupied before all this went down.
Yeah. Well, what are your thoughts on it?
I guess, you know, I was gonna do a reading for a new client this week, but I told them that it would probably be better if I waited a few days until things kind of stabilized. I guess you know, I can only speak for myself. What's going on for me? What, you know, and I've had this happen before when there's been major events going on that generate a lot of what I would just call psychic energy. You know, I feel like I'm picking up on the fear that you talked about, you know, that you have from that one client that people are feeling, and also just you know, the suffering that's going on for the animals and the plants and the people that are really being hit by this, and it's hard to just shut it out of my consciousness. You know, it feels like this weight on my heart, I guess, and maybe that's more empathetic going on with me than psychic, but it also feels like, you know, I'm tapping into, you know, like what you said, the collective unconscious, and it's just you know, kind of goes back and forth between feeling overwhelming and, you know, then when my energy comes back, just feeling like I just want to send out whatever support I can, positive love, you know, we're going to get through this, it's going to pass, you know, seek shelter, be safe. So it's a mix. Mix of stuff for me, I guess.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. you know, I think there's kind of this tightrope walk where I don't want to be in denial about what's happening, right? So I can have somewhat of a feel on the pulse of things. And at the same time, too much of that then triggers a fear response in me, which I know is not going to be productive. So I also have to, maintain a filter and a refuge where I can just, you know, unplug from it. And all that is really a luxury. I mean, I'm not, obviously I'm not one of the first responders on the line trying to save people's lives right now, I'm just trying to stay out of, everybody's way and off the road. So people need to evacuate. I mean, there's 500,000 people that have been told to evacuate places in Oregon now. So we only have a few million here, so it's pretty unprecedented.
So,
I'm like what you're saying, like people are already dealing with economic issues and job issues and pandemic stuff and political situation, which I know we're going to stay the hell away from. And, So it sounds like, the way that you've been kind of dealing with this, at least with your clients, it's just to, remind them that spirit's there for them and that there are, positive things to do and constructive ways of dealing with this and, not to get into, the darkness. That's what I'm hearing. Well, we all need to broadcast that message as often and as strongly as we can, That we're still connected, the earth's going to survive and that we're not alone. And we have more stuff to do, so we can do it. Figure it out. Make a plan.
Yeah. I think too, we'll all get through this, right? It will pass and we'll get through it. It's harder when it kind of feels like it all converges and it happens at once. It's a little overwhelming. You're like,
right.
Can this happen a different way, please? Spread this stuff out, not happen all at once. So,
right. Yeah. Slow it down. Interesting, along those lines, I remember reading about some people who were students, and I think one or maybe both of them were Native Americans, and they were feeling stressed because they had a test upcoming. They didn't feel prepared for it, I think is what the story was. And so the one of them said that they had a technique to kind of slow things down. And so they did whatever ritual they knew to do to make that happen. And they both kind of went into this mode where time seemed to really slow down and they lost track of their surroundings, but were able to focus on what they needed to do to get prepared. And then when they finally got through the material, which sounded like it was pretty extensive, they looked up and like only a couple hours had passed and it felt like it was like half a day.
Wow. Also too, I think it's an important day is also 9/11 today. Right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, right.
And we have that in the air.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Were you weren't in New York when that happened, were you? Maybe you were.
No, I was. Yeah.
Oh, you were.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awful.
Oh, man.
So I'm, well, but I mean, although it was horrific, one of the things that really I saw and took away from that, you know, you had one sense, just the horrible tragedy, but on the other side of that coin, you just saw how humanity came together. And we weren't a divided country anymore. We were just Americans. And political differences seemed to disappear. And we were human. And it was everybody helping everybody. And that was incredible to see. You just saw people coming to the city and helping wherever they could, in any way they could, any capacity. And that was just so uplifting, and it was inspiring. And it was amazing to see that. Amazing. Yeah.
Why do you think we are able to do that, you know, when there's a tragedy? And maybe more importantly, how could we harness that same sense of collective identity, you know, for the common good, to help us out whenever we need it, which is almost all the time, not just when there's, you know, something catastrophic occurring. Do you have any thoughts on that? Does anything come to mind?
I just, you know, it was able, I mean, I think one, just because it was so horrific. And it didn't come from within, you know. So the way they presented it, this was an outside source that was attacking our country. And, you know, everybody's empathy kicked in. And it was like, okay, we're in this together. And
circle the wagon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, and it's interesting because what's happening with the pandemic is awful as well, but you don't see that happening. And
it feels we're not being divided. Yeah.
No, it's different, and we're not being divided. Mm-hmm. We're being divided, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And so it's sad, you know, because this also could have been a horrible tragedy that could have been used to help each other.
Right.
And, yeah. So, you know, and I think 9/11 is still sad. It, I don't dwell on it a lot. I usually do when it's on 9/11. And that's, I think about it, and it was awful. And I get a little sad by it, but then I leave it and move on. Yeah.
Oh. Did anything spiritual or psychic or energetic come up for you around 9/11 that you remember?
No, because at that time I wasn't on the road yet.
Uh-huh.
Like, or I wasn't awakened on that spiritual path. I mean, I was on the path. I just didn't know it at the time. So, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really weird for me because when 9/11 happened, 9/11, I was out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had no idea. I didn't know, this is pre-cell phone, so I had no idea that anything had happened until after we got back to town a couple days later.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, you know, it was good and bad because it insulated, you know, the person I was with from the fear and the freak out and everything that's happening in the moment. But I can remember just feeling like, you know, the first time we were coming back and they were talking about, because we were listening to the radio, I was like, oh, are they talking about, you know, the bombing that happened, you know, when Clinton was president? Why are they talking about the World Trade Center? It took, you know, it took so long to figure it out. And yeah, that was just an odd thing.
Yeah.
My birthday is a few days after 9/11, so I had this party already planned, and then, you know, it kind of got usurped by this, obviously, so we converted it into a, you know, let's kind of come together and figure out how we can stay grounded and support each other kind of thing, instead of a, oh, birthday and cake, and you're older. Pretty trivial.
Did you have any psychic hits from that? Or any
Well, so I'll tell you what happened. So my friend and shamanic teacher had done a shamanic journey for me and brought back a spirit that told me who I remember. It was like this kind of backwoods person.
Mm-hmm.
And he, his name was Jebediah. And he wanted me to go out into the woods. He had some stuff he wanted me to work on. So it was almost like he wanted me to be away from all that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so the place we went to, this was really eerie. We got to the place we decided we would be camping, and which was a regular campground. And the people that had been there before had just trashed the place, and we could just feel the energy. It was like horrible, and they'd actually like shot a couple birds and left them there, and it was just, you know, like a mess. So we spent all this time cleaning up and clearing the place out before we did some other stuff. And, you know, we reflected a lot upon what would make somebody want to do that, you know, to create that kind of destruction in a place that, you know, that we both really loved and cared about. It was just really so counter. So, you know, even though I can't say I had any kind of direct premonition or anything like that with what was about to happen in New York, there definitely was a foreshadowing of, you know, the darker side of human nature, which really, you know, unfortunately, it's always has the potential to express itself, you know. So.
Yeah.
So, should we take a call?
Why don't we do that? That's a good idea. Yeah. Let's take a call.
Okay. All right. Let's see. See who's been on here waiting. So, just as a reminder, when we take you for our caller, we'd like to ask your name, if you feel comfortable sharing it, and where you're located, so we can get a sense of what your surroundings are like. All right. So this is area code 111. Hi, caller. You're on the Psychic Funhouse. What's your name and where are you calling from, please?
Hi. Michael, and you forgot your name, sir. I'm sorry.
It's okay,
my name's Lisa. Lisa?
Hi, Lisa.
I spoke in
Where are you calling
before.
From? Where are you calling from, Lisa?
Arizona.
Oh, okay. All right. How can we help you?
You've called us before, or is this your first time?
Uh-oh.
Are you still there, Lisa?
I talked to you like 4 months ago.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
Yeah, hi guys.
What can we do?
Thank you. And I did listen to your previous show. So my surrounding is pretty good. People want to go back to the normal and being patient and try to keep the mask on. But that's everywhere.
Yeah.
And of course, the cold weather's coming. So, and then of course, yeah. So that's what I see my surrounding. People want to go back to the.
Lisa, I don't know if it's your connection or what's happening, but you're kind of cutting in and out. So we just lost the last part of what you said.
Can you call back?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Lisa?
I will keep an eye on the phone. I was saying thank you for taking my call. Pretty interesting information y'all say, because you're right on track on everything y'all say. So it's a pleasure to speak with two masters of what y'all have. I would like to ask you, may I please? I'm trying to see if I'm able to. There was a gentleman by the letter of R. I know he's a very strong personality, but he was always kind for many years till all this crap in the grass came. Excuse my language. And so I don't know if that has cleared with those. But I like to communicate with him, and I don't know how much more time I can wait for me to communicate with him. Because again, I'm going to do this in a diplomatic way and cure his crap. But I'm doing it because there was wrongful acts acted upon, and there's clearing that needs to be done. I know he has. How can I make it? I'd just like to know what you see from that.
Okay. Can we ask you a little bit more information about the situation? Do you mind?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay, Lisa. So is this somebody you've talked with us before about, or is this a more recent issue that's come up for you? It sounds a little familiar,
but I may not. Yes, sir. This one I've never asked you about. I asked you about little L that to give him some time.
There she goes again.
I'm sorry. I have not asked you before on this one. I asked you about L, and you said that to wait because that's coming later. This is about R. I used to live over there where he's at. So I had this issue for over a year, but I need to know if it's clearing, because the PD department over there wanted two and a half months ago wanted to know if I was okay. So I did call them that I was okay, and I know they always it's a long complicated, but I got lucky. But I just like to know what you see on that issue with that man over there. Like, if I'm able to communicate, has he able to understand that he did wrong? Does he have some form of compassion, some form of understanding? Like, how much more time do I need? What can I say, or how can I communicate? Because I am thinking I'm maybe getting a part-time job over there. I mean, moving back around the area so I can catch them, like in the store. Well, that's stupid, but this baby's not going down.
Well, Lisa, I just want to ask you one more thing. What kind of relationship, or do you want to have a relationship? What kind of relationship do you want to have with this person, this R person?
Just a friendship. We were always friends for so many years. He did help me a lot for so many years. And he had a lot of interest in me, but I was afraid to approach him because of his behavior. I wasn't mature enough, but I grew up. Bit of friendship just to get the things that I need back, and then the goth take its course. I just want to go back, not there, but just want to communicate so I can get back what he has that's mine. I just want to communicate with him because if he has settled down, because it's important for me to communicate with him back. So there's a lot of things going on over there where he's at. And they're manipulating him. And they're lying to him. And he's not seeing that. Either he's on medication or he had too much whiskey. I don't know. But he's a very strong personality.
So, okay. So am I correct in hearing that you and he got along fine for a long time? Sounds like a long period of time. It sounds like maybe he was a mentor of some sort to you or supported you, and then something changed in him.
Yeah, he was a he changed, but I think because I didn't give him what he needed, you know, man thing, but I was afraid.
He wanted a romantic relationship with you?
You know what a man needs.
I see.
I didn't give him that.
No, that wasn't what... That wasn't what you were interested in, or you were, but you were afraid.
No, he was, but I was a little bit nervous because I was afraid he's going to be too aggressive with me, and I don't want to go that route. So
sure.
I needed time, and this time that I took time to think, created a little separation. He became angry. He yelled at me, but then I'm like, he screamed and. He wanted me to move from where I was, and I tried to communicate with him last week, and I heard him. His brother answered the phone. He said, "Look what she gets because she's a woman now. She's a big woman, and she was here, and she didn't give what I need. Now she waits."
Wow. Well, sounds like you made a good decision not to engage with him, you know, just because he wanted to have a closer relationship with you. If he reacted like that,
that
sounds really inappropriate and even abusive, frightening. So.
Yeah, I I just want to know if and then he had a situation where a lot of people lied to him. I don't know if he cleared that, but I know the PD was going over there a lot, trying to figure out the situation. And they have been working on the situation. They almost had a warrant. I don't know if they got the warrant for some people over there because they were not clear what direction to go. So they asked me for some information 2.5 months ago. I gave them some information, but I don't know if that has proceeded where he's at. What do you see in that?
What's going on with him? Yeah, I may not be able to get as much detail for him as I could with you, but I think he's a very confused individual.
Okay.
In the sense you know, some people are confused because they don't know what's going on, and so they're really unsure about what to do.
Sure.
I don't think he's in that category as much as he's in the category of being confused, but not realizing just how confused he is. So, you know what I mean? There's the difference. There's some self-delusion going on. So he doesn't have a really clear channel within himself. So as a result, whatever information comes to him, he's not able to process it and filter it for what's real and what isn't. Properly. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Oh, wow.
So as a result, you know, when he has to make a decision, especially if it's an important one, he doesn't have any criteria to really, at least right now in his life, to really use sound judgment. So as a result, he makes a lot of, you know, minor, major what I would just characterize as poor decisions. And so the consequences of that are he's in kind of a constant crisis mode, and he's also not very happy, and he also feels like he's a victim of all these external forces a lot of the time. So because of that, it's hard for him to take responsibility and improve things. But the root of it is much deeper than that. It's his own sense of feeling of not knowing how disconnected he is from himself and the reality going on around him. Now, saying all that, I don't get the sense that he's this really malicious, you know, violent, nasty person. I think a lot of his behavior that is improper comes out of this disconnect with self. So that would be the first step for him to start just having a better life, and tracking would be to figure out that this is what's happening and that he has the ability to, as much as possible, kind of regain control over his own inner life through whatever means he needs to, whether it's through medication or talking to others or meditation or, I think, where your interface is with him is very challenged in the sense that, however you decide to interact with him, it's not going to be the way that he would like you or prefer you to be in his life. Does that make sense? He's going to want more from you right away than you're going to be willing to give. And that's going to create immediate conflict and stress for you, no matter how much you, might not want that to happen.
So he
go ahead.
He's still stuck in the head to want it. He still wants that from me. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
He's still stuck in the head that he still wants that from me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially because he feels like you spurned him. It wasn't that he gave up on you or he approached you and then he decided, now I'm not interested. You basically, in his interpretation, right, you rejected him. So that hurt his pride, his ego, and all those other things that men carry around in a little bag that, they nurture, and when they don't get what they want, they lash out. So that hasn't gone away. He holds grudges, I guess. So he hasn't forgiven you.
Oh my God.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense. So if I try to
cut out, Lisa. Say it again.
He's still going to try to pursue, even if I try to be nice and communicate with him, he might try to be nice, and then he's going to ask me. I'm getting the one that I'm here.
I didn't catch the last part of what you said, but here's what I see happening if you choose to re-engage with him and try to establish. Let's say you talked to him. You said, "Hey, past is the past. We had, good stuff happen. We had stuff that ended our relationship that wasn't positive. I've let all that go. I've forgiven you and myself. I'd like to start over on a clean slate." Right? Let's say you approach him in good faith like that, Lisa. He's not going to come back to you and say, "Okay, that's great. I want to do that too." That's not the response you're going to get. He may say that, I doubt it, but he may try to say something like that. But really quickly, you're going to find out that that's not what he's capable of, at least not right now. He's got a lot of self-work and self-growth to do that you can't help him with, that he hasn't even begun to take the bite of or nibble at. So I would say you, by choosing to re-engage with him, no matter how you go about doing it, you're putting yourself at a minimum some serious emotional risk. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So how is that landing with you, what I just said?
It makes sense. I guess he's still going to want to, what I didn't give him before from the past, he's still going to want to pursue it because he felt rejected, he can't stand it.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's a lot of women. I mean, I was never provocative with him, but I guess it's a man thing.
That's the thing. You know, I don't know what your experience has been romantically, and I don't want to make any assumptions or stereotypes, but most men go around with the idea that they're irresistible to every woman around them, at least in, you know, relationships I've seen. And how much of that is actual reality and how much of that is fantasy, you know, varies from guy to guy. But I think, you know, Mr. R has got a huge dose of fantasy and would really do well to take a bigger dose of reality at some point. But I don't think you're the person to deliver that.
No. No. Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. That's just how it is. It may change. I don't see that happening anytime soon, but, you know, it may shift.
It may shift? What do you mean by shift?
Sure.
Is it okay to ask?
It's totally okay to ask. Well, in other words, you and I are meeting at a certain point in time talking about potentialities, right? Nothing's written in stone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, after our phone call together, something else could enter into the picture to shift things for this person such that whatever I've just said about what's likely to happen between the two of you if you tried to reconnect might not go the way that I'm seeing. It might actually be way better or could also be worse. Could be a bunch of different things, right? So There's whatever, you know, you're allowing me in to take a look at that I'm responding to, and then there's how you deal with it, you know, once I give you that insight and information. And then there's just what the universe does, right, which there's a million possibilities of outcomes always. And I'm just kind of tuning into the majority of what I see, right? So that's what I mean by shifting. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Wow.
Okay.
Wow. As you were talking, I feel like his obsession is in him, and I need to be careful. But and I had to think about this, and I had to ask God to help me with this. I think maybe later on, distance. Just to see the reaction. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it'd be best, you know, if you were really protective of yourself, you know, because I think he knows you enough to you know, have the potential to cause some damage to you, you know, because you're still quite potentially vulnerable around him. And I think his temptation to take advantage of that is going to be there. So it's unfortunate, but that, again, these are his choices. So
okay. I have to ask you, please, one last thing here. There's so many women. You don't have to hate me. There's so many women who are willing to give it easy. You don't have to hate me. I wish you didn't hate me.
You know, I don't think it rises to the level of hatred, which, you know, maybe that's, you know, better than what you thought was going on. It's not that he hates you. It's that he feels hurt by you. He feels like you wronged him, right? So it's not so much hurt. It's not so much hate. Mm. It's really an injustice. So he felt like you owed him something, right? Your attention. He felt like, and I'm just going to use this term because I get the sense from this guy, he was grooming you to have a relationship with him. And when that didn't work out, he got upset about it and, you know, angry, all the other stuff. And so what's left for him is that there was something about him, you know, that you didn't like. And so I don't know that he hates you, but for that, for not, you know, giving in to him as much as he hates himself and feels resentful that things didn't work out the way that he wanted, right? So there's a whole lot of other stuff in that mix besides hate. Not being in control, feeling humiliated, being angry. I think he's still got that going on. But, I think mostly he's just a really, really confused person. And, you know, he would have no problem making you a target. So just be really careful and cautious. And don't expose yourself. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
All right, Lisa. Let us know how it goes.
Good luck, Lisa.
Be smart. Make good decisions. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling us again. It's always great to hear from you.
Good reading, Lawrence.
We've got another caller ready to go. Oh.
All right. Well, let's do it. We have,
should we hit him? Okay.
A few minutes. We have a few minutes left, it looks like, so we can take one more.
I think so. Hi, caller. This is area code 401. What's your name, if you don't mind, and where are you calling from?
My name is Carrie. I'm calling from Rhode Island, and I've been
Hi,
enjoying
Carrie.
Your show. I know it's almost towards the end of it, and
okay.
My phone raised my hand for me, so here I am.
Wow.
I've just been enjoying it, yeah, so... I heard a little, I had it up in my ear. I heard the number button push and I didn't do it. So here I am. I think there's a message, maybe.
Bada bing, bada boom. So what can we do for you? Is there something specific?
I'm not really, I didn't have something prepared. So I'm open to any, I'm just making some major decisions coming up. And I feel as though, with everything that's going on, it's kind of hard to stay grounded, you know, just in the climate of the world, country right now. So anything you have for me as far as how best to proceed, I resonated with your last call a lot. I think that's what caught me off guard. So.
Hmm. How come? Mm, what'd
you
resonate?
Great.
Just the advice, like
you know?
What you were advising. Yeah.
Okay. Michael, you get anything for... Carrie, our friend Carrie.
Let's see.
It's just
well,
it's sort of like what the description says. Yeah, I mean, just sort of, it's like a fog was lifted up almost for me after quite some time, but there was no fog. Yeah. So.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any? Can you give me some more information about? You said you have a major decision to make.
I'm just. Going, you know, have a property and a relationship and kind of sorting through all of that and made progress on it after quite some time. And, you know, I'm navigating that, but trying to stay, you know, not let too many distractions get in the way. I've never really gone through the process. So once it begins, you know, many offers or other people will come in and out, and it's just trying to stay grounded, having all of that energy coming towards you, and then also having to make decisions to relocate too. So it's sort of a has to be a well-oiled machine, you know, And then there's just so much going on that it's been very, it's a lot. So sorry if I seem a little caught off guard, but I was. So it's been weighing heavily on my mind.
Okay. Let me see. One of the things I'm getting is, excuse me, is it feels like it's kind of everything is, how do I put this? Like everything is just kind of blocking your channels right now. Like everything is lumped together, right?
Right.
And it's not separate in your psyche.
Mm-hmm. The burden.
And so
of it, yeah.
Do you understand that? And so they're saying like one of the most important things to do right now is to separate the issues, right? And it's because it's not all just one big ball, you know, all the issues aren't just one thing, and that they need to be separated so that you can think of each issue separately and kind of deal with everything separately. Because also, too, when they're kind of balled up together, all, I don't know how to explain the energy
like a big ball
they show
of yarn
me,
almost.
But just
I feel like they're it's all like zigzag.
Yeah.
That's what I see. Yeah.
And I'm kind of thinking more gum because it's all stuck together.
Exactly.
And they're saying like it becomes a little overwhelming that way, as opposed to pulling it apart, separating it, and so you know this is this issue. This issue is a different issue. This is a separate issue, and they're all separate, and it will help you to move through the issues easier.
Right. Yeah.
Does that?
There's a lot of emotion, I think. That's probably the gum part that you're mentioning. So the emotional needs to be separate from the, you know, the business type, you know, like logical decisions that have to be made, and then those have to kind of be broken down. So I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're saying, like, that's going to be the best thing for you right now, to really kind of separate them, but also to really write them down and kind of start listing out what needs to be done on each issue and ask for help with each issue, because I'm kind of getting to that there are pleads for help, but it goes out in one big general help and not specifically. And so they're saying if you need help with issues, ask them and be very specific about the help that you need pertaining to each issue, because each issue is different, the help that you need. And so they will help you with this. But you know, part of this is also, it's about us being being aware of what we need and taking responsibility for exactly what we need. And so it's about, you know, putting out that request.
Absolutely.
And being very specific as opposed to the general cry for help.
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah,
100%.
Because they're saying that they're around you and they're with you, but it feels kind of like at times, I may feel like I'm stuck, and I don't know where to move, what to do, and the general pleas also feel like at times like nobody's listening. Do you understand that?
Yeah, 100%. Because it's just not just my decision. Yeah. So.
Right, and so they're saying they're hearing you, but they need you to be specific so they can really target areas. Because they just don't take over and say, like, stand back. We're going to get this fixed for you. They're like, you know, they wait and they say, well, what do you want us to do? Well, I need help. And they're like, yeah, we get it. There's a lot of things going on here. Where do you want the help?
Right.
Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And they're saying it will all kind of, also that ball of gum is pertaining to one of the issues, and it feels like it will come apart at some point.
Okay.
And it will be okay.
Good. That makes me feel better already because I can speak clearer now. I was sort of tripping over my words before. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Not a problem. You know, because when they give me the information, a lot of times they just show me images and then feeling, and I'm like, how do I translate this? I need to find the words.
Right.
But you'll be fine. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck. Let us know how it goes.
I will.
Okay.
Thanks, Carrie.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Yeah, that was good, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. That was very good, Lawrence.
I think
well, we've come to the end of another show. So
yeah,
quickly.
I was just gonna say. I think she's gonna find daylight when she addresses her emotional attachment to the person she shares that property with.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my suggestion. So,
yeah.
Yes, we are here. We are here at the end of Psychic Funhouse. How did that happen so quickly?
That happened.
It's just magic. So, before we go, if people would like to get a private healing or reading from you, how's that going to happen, Michael? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
They can contact me by going to my website, michaeljespinoza.com. They can also reach me at 562-457-0457. How about you, Lawrence?
Well, they can contact me, Lawrence Birch, at 541-344-7534 or my email givingtree@earthlink.net. My Facebook page is Giving Tree Farm Herbs and my website is givingtreefarm.com.
All right. Well, thank you.
So what's happening
next
week, do we know? Yeah.
Next week, we're going to talk about the clairs, the different clairs there are, and how we receive energy and messages. Yeah.
Ah, like clairvoyant, clairaudient.
Clairaudient. Clairsentient. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And clairdained.
Yeah.
My girlfriend. She doesn't know it yet, but she will. Ooh, that sounds kind of stalky.
All right, sir. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate you.
As always, stay safe and visit the Psychic Funhouse every week to stay sane.
Stay sane.
See you next
stay
time.
Stay safe.
Yep.
See you
Thanks,
next time.
Michael, for another good co-hosting
Thank you.
Job.
Thank you, sir. It was great.